Hi, I'm Amanda Atkin. Welcome to our Greystone Baptist Church podcast. This season of Advent, we are talking about how we grow into the season, growing into hope, peace, joy, and love. I'm so delighted today to be able to talk with Elizabeth Worley. Elizabeth is a great friend and a church member, and I'm delighted that she's here today to talk with us about hope and growing in hope. Elizabeth is a therapist and a mom, a singer, a good person to be around. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Amanda.
What would you tell us about yourself and what you do?
Well, married 26 years on Wednesday. And
happy anniversary.
Thank you. Have a 19-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son and a brand new puppy. I'm also a child therapist. I do child play therapy, and I'm also a parent counselor at Project Enlightenment.
That's why I thought you would be an excellent person to help us talk about this concept of hope, not just as a feeling that we have at any given point in time that kind of comes and goes, but as a choice that we make, an ethic that we live into. In spiritual formation, we would talk about it as a discipline, not as something that's harsh or demanding, but a practice, something that we are trying to grow a habit in, a habit of hope. And so I felt like with your work with young families and with families that might be struggling, you get to see them in the struggle and you also get to see them come out on the other side. Our scripture reference for this week, the first week of Advent, is in Romans, Romans chapter 15, and it says that Paul is saying that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think the scripture is telling us that hope is a God-given gift, that if we explore and develop, that it leads to a sense of peace, a sense of joy, a sense of openness to good and light and all those good things in the season and throughout our lives. So what's your take on hope?
For me, working with families and especially working with children, I don't think you can do it without hope because so much of it is hard. So much of it is unknown. And I think you have to have a sense of, I'm going to get through this. This is going to be okay. I'm going to find my anchor and I'm going to hold on. But I think we have to have hope. I have to have a sense of expectation.
But I think as a parent, right, that's impossible because I don't know. There is so much that I absolutely do not know the outcome of what this is all going to turn out to be. And I feel just kind of like I'm feeling around in the dark, right? And how do I trust myself and trust my spouse and just kind of wing at it than hope that it's just all going to be all right?
Well, I think communication is really important. Talking about what your expectations are, what your desires are for your family. What do you hope for your family to be? Where do you, looking ahead, who do we want our children to be in 20 years? Because that doesn't come in 20 years. That comes today and tomorrow and just each progressive day. So if we take a long view in terms of who do we want, what kind of people do we want our children to be? What kind of parents do we want to be? And then we take smaller, disciplined, as you said, steps toward that. I think it can be, it's a little less daunting.
I think though there is a sense of reality, right?
Yes.
Because I have a big vision of how my child's not going to have any screen time and we are just going to be at one and at peace with who we are. And then life happens. And I was reminded of Rachel Held Evans is someone that I look to very often because I thought she was just wise and smart and authentic and had a bit of humor. And I was at a conference one time, and she talked about everything that was wrong with the world and how sometimes that can be so overwhelming and that it caused her a lot of anger. And she said to the crowd, you know, that she wasn't afraid of anger, but she was afraid of losing hope, because anger without hope is cynicism. And cynicism is just a defeating, dark place that has no light and can't carry us forward. And it really was a comfort to me that there are things that go wrong, and there are overwhelming situations in this life that are not okay, that deserve some holy anger, but that even in the midst of it, we're supposed to have this concept of hope, this ethic of hope that keeps drawing us forward. And it seems to me that the key to that can be found in resilience. And I don't know, you seem like the perfect person to talk to us about that.
Well, you know, resilience theory is all about how the capacity that an individual who has been exposed to adversity or trauma or stress develops a positive adaptation over time. And so I think the key is over time, and it's really about balance, because bad things are going to happen. Hard things are going to happen. We have to accept that as parents, and that's the human condition, that life's going to be hard sometimes. But what we try to think about is in terms of protective factors. What can we do to provide support and encouragement so that the risk factors don't outweigh the protective factors? And so what we want to do with our children is not, you know, build them up and say, you're so great, you're so fantastic, yeah, you're the best in everything. Instead, we want to really just tune in to those things that we see that they're doing that are helpful and kind. And when we notice those things and we specifically say, hey, Amanda, you know, that was really helpful when you, you know, picked up that when I didn't ask you to. You did it. And you'll see a sense of hope and a sense of pride and a sense of joy in their faces when they don't feel judged, but they feel seen and appreciated. And I think that's the key with building resilience in our children, is to see them. And even when it doesn't go well, we can say, hey, that didn't work so well. I wonder what we can do to make it different next time. Rather than a sense of punishment, a sense of failure, and a sense of pessimism, but a sense of belief in them that they can make good choices. So when they do make the right choices, we notice and we positively comment without judgment, but with real clear seeing eyes. And when things don't go as well, we're with them. We're right with them with the hope that they can do it better, they can make a better choice next time.
But it really is about celebrating who they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about celebrating who they are, not necessarily who we wish they were or who somebody else thinks they should be. And it's in that real connected place that we find out who they are. And so we can support that and encourage that. And that's very hopeful.
Oh, my goodness. That is exactly what God does for us.
Absolutely. Every single day, thankfully. And, you know, the other part, too, when I have families that are struggling to see the joy and they're not feeling very hopeful, I just ask them one simple thing. So just notice one good thing that your child is doing and just tell them. If they show you a picture, say, look at that. It's full of all those colors. You know, if they come in and they've done well on a test, it's not about the grade. It's about, hey, you really studied hard for that. You were prepared. You did it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard for us to accept that for ourselves, which is why it's so hard to give that as a gift to the people around us, our children, our spouse, our friends, our fellow travelers on this journey, our fellow church members, our child's teacher. It's to accept that we are accepted just as we are and celebrated just as we are, is a real gift.
Well, it is. And I think that can, you know, that kind of belief in a child, just one or two people can tip the scale, can balance, can pull them over into those protective factors, outweighing the risk factors. Just that someone believes in them just as they are. But we have to do it for ourselves. And I have a young client that I work with, and she said, you know, I'm just dumb. And I said, would you ever say that to me? She said, no. I said, well, then you can't say it to yourself. But that's the real challenge. I think we as parents have to really do it for ourselves and have to believe in that hopeful, come from that hopeful place for ourselves so that we can do it for our children. And I think that's what's the hardest part about parenting, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you get down in the trenches, right? And it's just every day and every day and every day. And you feel so unsteady in and of yourself. And trusting, I think, in your gifts and your talents and realizing that you don't have everything, but you have enough.
Absolutely. I think God gives us enough. And it's hard for us to rest in that. But I do believe that that's true. But it's just hard to stop and say, okay, what is it that I have? What do I have?
I think it's also that idea that we aren't called to be perfect, but we're called to be authentic.
I so agree with that. So, because there is no perfect parent.
Right. And I don't think that there are perfect children.
Right.
Sometimes we get trapped in this idea of watching people's social media feeds, or maybe we're watching some sitcom, some not real reality that we envelop ourselves in electronically that says we can have it all, we need to have it all, we have to be all things to all people.
And we should be. And if we're not, we lose hope.
Right.
And that's just not what, we're not called to be everything to everybody, and neither are our children. And I think the more authentic we can be, and that took a long time for me to really learn that.
So what are some of those pieces that have helped you understand who you truly are authentically?
I think recognizing that I'm not a real calm Zen person. I'm anxious. And recognizing that and accepting that and knowing that God made me this way. We're all flawed people, but recognizing that there are times when I have to just stop and breathe, and I have to say to my family, this is really hard for me right now. I need to take a breath. You know, saying to my husband, I'm feeling hopeless. I'm just feeling hopeless. This house is a disaster. I'll say, structure me. That's our code word. Structure me. What, help me know what to do first. And he'll always say, well, why don't you start with this? And then I'll do that part. And so that's been helpful for our children to see that example of vulnerability.
Right.
And when I recognized that I did not have to have it all, I did not have to be all that, whatever in the world that means,
right.
I began to love myself much more. And life became more hopeful because it didn't feel so heavy.
Right. You know, sometimes I don't know when I realized that all the things about myself that are perhaps my weaknesses and my flaws and things I could do better about, that my calling and my chosenness is because not only of my strengths, but also because of my weaknesses.
Absolutely.
And to value those growing edges, perhaps, and the struggles that I have, because living into those struggles allow me to identify, have empathy with, create community with other people when I see that happening around me. And if I recognize it in myself, then I'm able to help others on the journey as they're kind of struggling with that too.
Yes, and it also gives them hope. Because we can say, especially when I'm working with young children, I'm not a young mom, but I was a young mom. And I remember it just as if it was yesterday. And there are moments that felt hopeless. And to be able to say, hey, look, you can do this thing. You know, I'm going to help you, but you can do this thing. It's possible. And I think older mothers have done that for me, to say, you know, this is very hard, but, you know, I've done it. Here I am, you know. You can do this. The hope, just the hope of of the hope of the future in looking at the past.
Right.
And the confidence that I got through some really hard things and I survived and I made it through and God never left me. He never, ever has left me anywhere without coming back to get me and showing me what I could learn from it.
Right. Right. I guess I just feel like one of those themes that we talk about in spiritual formation is that we are not alone. And the way that we recognize that we are not alone is not only through a sense of God's presence in our lives through the Holy Spirit, but also seeing ourselves in community. And as we continue in our culture, we keep driving ourselves into these points of isolation, and we can control our world better in those smaller worlds, but we're lonelier. Absolutely. And we're sadder.
Yes.
And if we'll risk the vulnerability to go out and live in a bigger, broader community where we don't get everything we want and things don't go as smoothly, they're not as controllable, there's a greater sense of support there.
Yes.
That carries us through, I think.
Well, and I think with our children, when going back to the whole concept of resilience, when they fail, when they don't get what they want, when they don't make the team they want to make, just being there to say, hey, that's really hard, but you can get through this. And when they do, and looking back and saying, oh my goodness, that did not kill me. You know, I think holding that space for our kids is so important, because that gives them the hope that, hey, next time I'll try something else, or maybe I'll try that same thing again. But we have to let them fail. We have to hold them, hold that space with them, sit with them in that sense of failure and disappointment. Because what we want to do, because we love them so much, is we want to take away that disappointment. And we want to say, oh, that's not fair. We need to go and fight for that. And sometimes, like you say, there is a place for that righteous anger. But oftentimes, it's just to sit with them and say, that hurts so much.
I think in those spaces of hurting, what's required is a genuine, real trust in God.
Absolutely.
I just think of all those times when I found myself crying on the bathroom floor. Maybe that's just me. Maybe other people don't do that.
But I've been with you. Yes.
Those times when I've just been crying on the bathroom floor and realizing it's just me and God, that requires a genuine trust in God. And that's where that sense of hope and that sense that I can get up. And sometimes a friend has come along beside me to help me up. And sometimes it's just a matter of being faithful and taking the next best step forward. As sad as I might be, as wounded as I might be, just that next best step.
I would agree. And for me, my faith journey, I mean, I couldn't get out of bed without hope. And God has shown me through the trials and through the hardest things in my life that He's never going to leave, and that the hope remains. The hope will always be there.
Sometimes the best things that we can learn are learned in the dark.
Definitely.
As hard as that may be. Our best lessons. Yes. The pieces that carry us forward into the light and into the future are the ones that we really did struggle with in the dark.
Yes.
Oh, but as a parent, that's a hard thing to watch.
Yes, it is.
And to be involved in, right?
100%. It's very, very difficult.
So we're going to move into the season of hope. We're going to grow a bit deeper in hope. As we kind of think about wrapping up, Elizabeth, what are a few things that you would tell folks if they wanted to lean into hope a bit more? What would you suggest?
I think as a parent, as they're preparing for this season, to stop and think about the little things, to think about the small things, and not try to make this time the perfect time. I have a dear friend who's this may be her husband's last season. And we talked at length about, well, how do I make it the best? And she and I, over lots of tears, agreed it's not about being the best. Let's just make it the most present. And I think if we can do that, then we see all the hope that God has for us. When we're not about, and the hustle and bustle, there's a lot of that. But to just take the moments when we can and just be together and just be with one another authentically.
Oh, those are great words. Thanks for being with us. Let's close our time in prayer, if you don't mind. Gracious and merciful God, be hope to us. Root us and ground us in your love. Cause within us a sense and a peace and a hope that cannot be shaken in community, in spirit, and in love. Amen.
Amen.